We've been talking and teaching on holiness. We've had series on living truly for God and living a godly life. And we've just about covered everything in one way or another, all of us that's been teaching. And it's been really good. And we should be growing. And we should being made and molded in the image of Christ. Because that's what we're trying to do, is get us to come together and scoot up close to the fire and let God, you know, do a work in our life. So I've had these notes for a really long time, and I found them, and I thought, well, I like this. I like this, so I'm going to talk about this tonight. We understand, of course, that, you know, they label us as Christians, and that truly means that we are to be Christ-like. And so it's not something that you have to work at it sometimes. I know you know that. If we are going to be Christ-like, and we do have the Holy Spirit living in us and bear witness in our life, because we know the Bible says that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, we will bear the characteristics of Jesus, of Christ. So we're going to just talk about our character, and we're going to take a look at ourselves and just see how much progress we're making. Because, you know, just about every day you wake up and you think, well, I'm a failure. I can do better in a whole lot of areas. But if you judge yourself by the word of God, we're always lacking. We can always do better and do more. So I found out that your character is the sum of all the qualities that make you who you are, good or bad. Your character comes from within. It's not determined by the circumstances around you, or your life situations, or your problems. Your character comes from within. But the things around you and how you react could really bring your character out. Our reactions to the daily trials that we have and the circumstance gives away our true character. Because under pressure, we have a tendency to release the beast. That's Holly's word. You know, we just find out what one another are really like. And, you know, Jack has this saying that you don't really know anyone until you live with them or work with them. And that's because in those situations, you know, the true you really comes out. So, according to the word of God, in Deuteronomy 10:12-13, it's the Lord's purpose to develop character within us. It says that he's talking to Israel. It's in the beginning. He said, "And now, Israel, what doeth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you this day for thy good." So it's his good pleasure and purpose to develop character within us. You know that he knows the plan that he has for us. And the purpose, sometimes we say, well, I don't really know what my purpose is or what I'm supposed to be doing, but we are created to serve the Lord with all of our heart, to be a witness for Jesus, and to help somebody along the way, and to help them direct their life, get it right on track if we can. We do have purpose. Your character is what God knows about you. Your reputation is what we think about you. Your character, God truly knows. Reputation can kind of, you know, go one way or another, but that's what we think that you are, because that's the part of you that we see a lot, is what you leave behind, your reputation. Abraham Lincoln said it like this: reputation is the shadow, but character is the tree. Is that not beautiful? Smart man. Mm-hmm. Truly was. Your character begins when you're born. And it usually begins to take form when you're a child. Good character and good behavior can be taught to a child, if you got any. So, you know, if your child is acting up, then you need to take a good look at what you're teaching or what you're acting in front of them. Because they, very early, they form their opinion. They throw tantrums. They know how to get their way. All of this stuff starts forming in them very, very young. And unless they are corrected and taught good behavior, then they will get on the wrong track. How many times have you heard people say, oh, what a little character? You know, well, that could mean a lot of things. We got a little character in our house. He's really a sweet child, but he has his. Parents are responsible. Yeah, I didn't hear that, Brother Bill. Yeah, we got a big character and a little character, don't we? Yeah. I think that too, Brother Bill. You're okay. But we're responsible for making the choices for our children until they get of age. And you know, after they get grown and we look back, we think, wow, I sure did make some bad mistakes somewhere along the line. What did I do here, and why didn't I do this, and what? But you just have that one chance when they're growing up. You gotta form and mold them with God's help the best you can do, and pray a lot, believe me. So, choices. I'm going to read Joshua, the 24th chapter and the 15th verse. And if it seem evil unto you to trust the Lord, choose you this day whom you shall serve, whether the gods which your father served that was on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Have we not all quoted that and said that? And I think we've even got it on a plaque hanging on the wall. He made the choice for his family, and he was instructing the people and telling them, you know, you can decide. This is a choice you have to make, who you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I hope that that's what we all decide that we're going to do. Because we have a short time to really make some fast decisions if we've not got our mindset already. Good character consists of doing the right thing because it's just the right thing to do. You know, sometimes you don't have a week to decide what you're going to do, because you never know what you're going to be confronted with on the moment, and you have to make a quick decision right then. So if you've already got good qualities and good character, the Lord will just, you know, let the Spirit of God spring up there, and you'll have the right answer, or you'll have the right reaction to whatever is taking place for you. That's why we have to walk in the Spirit and let the things of the world go by. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added. The character of your person is revealed in the choices that you make. And whether you're working on it or not, and you don't even think you've got any character, you're always building character, one way or another, good or bad. If you get up every morning and you decide to sit on the couch and eat Oreo cookies all day and watch TV, you're forming something, probably a couch potato. I don't know. I'll just call it that. But you're making something. You know, you're being, but you know, you can go look at it negatively and say, well, you know, no, you're adding to health, you're damaging your health, you're wasting time, you're doing all these things. And that's a negative side of it. But the good side, too, there's a good side to it. So you make that choice when you get up in the morning. I've always told my kids that happiness does not fall out of the sky and hit you on the head. You have to work for it. You have to reach for it. You know, and if you don't know what you want or what makes you happy, you have to search around a little bit for it. You know, some days you just don't know what you want. But if you desire God and the things of God and you seek Him, He will direct you. Before you know it, your spirits will be lifted up. You're affected by the places that you go. Your character is affected. The way you talk, your actions, the people you hang with, and the church where you go. I don't know why, but they put us all in a little group. The world does. If you tell anybody that you go to a Church of God or a Pentecostal church or a Holiness church, then they expect a lot from you. They don't want to live that way, but they expect you to live it. They expect you to be what you say you are, to be true. So it does affect you, the people that you're around. And that's why Brother Bill is always trying to help us. He is trying to not get us like him, but to get us like Christ. And I appreciate my pastor. Okay, our character really determines whether we're successful in life or not. If you've ever noticed a person that has strong character, they have a drive. They have an energy that you like to be around. They're very encouraging. And they have determination. And then there's the opposite side of that. People that are real passive, they don't really know, have anything to say. They're real inward with their opinions. And, you know, God loves them just as much. But it's good to be around somebody that has a lot of energy and is an outgoing person, because they'll pull you out. They'll help you. See, that's what it's all about. God doesn't make our character for us. We are made in His image. And He's given us a free will and a choice to do or not to do. In Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, in the 19th verse, it says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. So if you make the right choices for your family, then they'll be blessed, and their seed will be blessed. There's a scripture in Isaiah, it's one of my favorite, that says, my children shall be taught of the Lord, and great will be their peace. And all the promises of the Bible, just about all of them, include your family, your seed, and their seed, which goes right on down the line to your grandchildren. He's not going to forget about your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. They're part of you, and they're part of that promise. Choices that we make form habits, and habits carves and molds character. Every decision and every act changes us for the better or for the worse. You know, sometimes people do things or say things and they'll say, well, I don't know why I said that, and I don't know why I did that, and I'm guilty. But we're driven by something. We think about things. We act on things. I know this to be a fact. If you have thoughts that are not good, you need to take authority over them, get them away from you, because if you don't, the next thing you know, they'll be coming out your mouth. And then once they start coming out your mouth, then you start acting on them. You have to take care of them while they're up here in your head. The Bible says, out of the heart the mouth speaketh. So if you have thoughts that are not good, and surely we're mature enough to know good thoughts and bad thoughts. And sometimes we just, you know, the Lord will give us a thought and it'll be really good and we'll be so slow about acting on it. And then there's other times that we just have thoughts and we say, well, is this you, God, or is this just me? And then sometimes we just have one that's just so bad, we say, well, we know where that come from. Hey, just, we don't want to deal with that. So, you know, we have to make a choice in there of what's going on in our head all the time. Okay, the scriptures that we're going to read are about godly character. The first one is Philippians 4:8, and I don't know which one of you had that. Just raise your hand if you got it, and Jack will bring it.
Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things.
2 Peter 1:5 and 6. Practicing virtue.
2 Peter 1:5 and 6. And besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness.
Proverbs 4 and 23, guarding our heart.
Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
Keep in good company. 1 Corinthians 15 and 33.
You'll run a race to get you.
1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And also the word communications can also be interpreted companionship.
Always setting a good example. Titus 2:7-8.
Titus 2:7-8. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you.
Amen.
Example, so they won't have it. So they won't have anything bad to say about us. So if they do say anything, you know, the people that really know you, it won't be credible. They'll know you. Our character is causing us to grow and mature. I just summed up the word character in one word to me, and character means integrity. Integrity is unimpaired soundness and wholeness. It's a code of moral values. It's incorruptible. It's honor. It's completeness. And the first example that came to me when I was looking at the word integrity was the book of Job. And it's just so well known. He was the great example of integrity because when his wife came to him and when all this stuff was going on, we won't go through the whole story because I'm pretty sure you all know the story of Job, how that he lost everything and was sick, and he had these friends that came and tried to help him, and they didn't bring very much help. But during this time, his wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? You know, just give it up. Well, you know, we never do talk about her much, but she had lost children too. She had lost all of her stuff too. And her husband was very sick. And she didn't see any way out. But he said, though God slay me, yet will I trust him. He trusted God and held his integrity through all of this. And see, I've been in the church most of my life, and I've heard this preached on so much about the book of Job. And to me, it was like they always brought it forward about what Satan was doing and what he could do and what he did to this man and how this man suffered. But you know what? The whole thing that I got out of it was the fact that God was wanting us to see the good character that came out of it. What Job really had inside of him. How that truly he trusted God through all of it. It was amazing. And at the very end, after the friends got through saying everything that they said and telling Job what they thought and what they thought he should do, he prayed for them. And the Bible says when he prayed for his friends that God turned his captivity. Why? Because he showed them mercy. He showed them grace. He showed them compassion. He showed them that he knew what he was doing and that it was inside of him and it came to the surface through all of that. So to me, that's what the book of Job is all about. Dr. David Jeremiah said this. I got this off of his page. True character or integrity is standing by your commitment even when the circumstances have greatly changed. And do they not change in about 3 seconds? Sometimes. You know, you can get up feeling great, happy, and praising the Lord, but before you leave the house, it's like everything is just caved in on you. And you're saying, oh God, pull me out. Get me, Lord, I'm in trouble. And you know, there's some things that if you go around with a song on your heart and praising God all the time, you can kind of keep your spirits up. But you're gonna have those days when you're just scraping the bottom. But he never leaves us nor forsakes us. And we can remember that and hold on to what we have and what we've heard and what we're being taught and what we've read. And you know what we have been taught goes way back. I don't care if you're just 12 or 13. You can remember the good things that you heard. And if you've ever been around anybody that's never had God talked about or never went to church, when we were in the state of Florida, I taught a teenage class. And I had never been around anybody that didn't know one thing about Jesus, didn't know the name of Jesus, never heard the name of Jesus, and had never been to church. But there was a young lady that came to my class, and she did not have a clue what we were talking about. She had never heard of Jesus. How does that make you feel? It's just pain, isn't it? You think, well, how's that possible living in the United States where preachers and churches are on every hand and every corner and everybody talks about it all the time and it's even in the news? They're trying to snuff it out now, but nevertheless. So, you know, I felt pressure because I thought, you know, I got 30 minutes here to tell her a world of news, you know, a whole world full, a whole lot of stuff I got to tell her. And I said, God, you're just going to have to help me. But she came several times, and she was a very pleasant child, but she truly was honest. She did not know nothing about Jesus. Leadership is based most likely on the character or integrity of people. Because when you are called into leadership, the Bible says in the 2 Timothy, the 1st chapter in the 9th verse, he has called us and chosen us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but by the grace of Jesus Christ, which was given to us from the foundation of the world. So he calls, many are called, few are chosen. He calls whom he will, because he sees inside of you. He knows what you're all about. Now, he doesn't call you to be a leader for your own gratification or your own elevation. No, he sees that deep inside of you, you have qualities that you can help somebody with, that you can promote and develop your fellow man. That's what it's all about. And see, this leadership thing in our country, we were talking before the service about the debate. And, you know, you just have to hear people talk. You just have to be around them to just kind of know where they're coming from. If you're going to have good character and you're going to be a good leader, it's going to be Bible-based. It's going to be God-given. He's going to bring it out of you. He's going to teach you. He's not going to put you up there because you are born a leader. But you don't know that when you're born, that you're going to be a leader. But he puts you up there because he knows all about it. And I've heard Jack tell hundreds of times about when he was in the military that they would pull him to the front. They had no idea what I was going to have to go through. No, put him on the front line, make a leader out of him, you know, drilled and drilled and drilled. And so, you know, he got a hold up pretty good, I think. It's about obeying God and pointing souls to Christ. You know, I didn't join the Marines, and I don't know nothing about them very much, but I am a Marine. I mean, Jack even got me that necklace that says I'm a Marine's wife. You know, right now, 40 years later, I can tell you pretty much about what they're like. Yeah. See? Right. See, you don't know anybody till you live with them, and if you live with them for 40 years, you pretty much know what they're going to say next, what they're going to do. And sometimes you think, oh, I am not going to show him this because I know what he's going to say. You know, that's all about life. And, you know, our children, they pick up on that very young, what we're going to say. If mom's going to say yes, they'll go to mom. If dad's going to say no, they stay away from him. Mm-hmm. And Jack he's pretty much a yes and no person. I might be a little iffy, but he isn't. It's just like, it's funny how that your children, right, they learn your character, you know, and they know, they always say that dad's in a mood and mom's in a tiz. So you put that mood and that tiz together and you got a whirlwind going on, I guess. I think it's funny because it sort of offends him sometimes when they say, whew, dad's in a mood. Well, that could cover a lot of ground, you know. So that's just the way we are. But God, if you're called to be a leader and you know it, for heaven's sakes, pick up the torch and start running with it. Don't worry about not being able to do it. If you want to look at a great leadership role, you can look at Moses. Moses, he has a beautiful story. He had destiny from the very beginning. The Bible says that there rose up a king that was not like Joseph. Pharaoh had Moses' people in bondage. They were in slavery. They were working them to death. They were pressuring them. They were abusing them. And Moses was born during this time, and y'all know the story, and it's a beautiful story, how that his mama, there was a decree that all the babies had to be killed. Pharaoh ordered the midwives to kill these babies, but they didn't, because they feared God. And she put Moses in this little basket, and she put him out on the river, on the water. And guess what? Pharaoh's daughter found him. And she didn't have any children. And the Bible says that his mother and his father saw that he was a goodly child. In other words, he was a good-looking baby. He was a Hebrew. And they put his sister Marian out there to watch over. He was hid in the bulrushes to see. I wish Jordan was here so he could hear this little story. To see what would happen. And when she come and she got him, she wanted him. So Miriam just approaches and she says, you know, let me run and get you somebody to take care of him and nurse him So she goes and gets Moses' own mother. And she gets to raise him and nurse him and keep him to a certain age probably. And then he went to the house of Pharaoh because the Bible says he was educated as the Egyptians was. He grew up in that house. Really was being trained probably to be the next ruler, the next Pharaoh even. But the good thing about it was that when Moses got to be an adult, the Bible says that he didn't want to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had roots and character that his mother had instilled in him. And one day when he was an adult, and I believe he was about 40 years old, he went back down there to where the people were in slavery, and he saw this Egyptian, you know, misabuse or something to another man, it was a Hebrew man, and he killed the Egyptian, and he buried him. And he did not know that anybody saw him. But it came out in one way or another, and the Pharaoh, he was afraid of Pharaoh, so he fled to the desert. At this time, he did not know that what his purpose and plan that God had for him was. But when he went to the desert, he stayed there a long time. He had two sons. He met a wife. And one day, he saw the burning bush. It was not consumed. And the Lord spoke to him and called him. He told him to take off his shoes because he was on holy ground. I'd say by then, he began to realize, you know, that he really had purpose in his life. And God called him to lead the children of Israel out of bondage and out of that land. And you all know the story, how long it took and how difficult it was. But God gave him instructions. But he too said, you know, why me, Lord? I can't do this. I can't speak plainly. I don't have all this understanding or whatever. And God just plainly told him, okay, I'll send your brother Aaron with you. You'll have a helper. And they worked together the whole time. And, you know, the Bible even talks about Miriam, his sister. And they were involved as a family. But Moses was called by God to be a leader. And when the time came that God was ready to use him. Brother Bill, I don't know how correct I am in this, but I'm thinking that he was about 80 years old before he even started this journey. I do know that I read that he lived to be, Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes was not dim, and his natural force was not abated. He had God's hand upon him all those years, through all those plagues and all the things that they went through getting out of Egypt. So he's the great example of leadership that I found. When God told him what he had to do, he wasn't a perfect man. He was just called by God. God just calls anybody that he chooses to call. You know, if we look at people, we can say, well, I just don't see them doing that. They don't see it either. They just have to look at God and say, hey, God, you mold me, you make me, you bring all of this out of me. See, when Moses, when he became grown, he knew all this stuff. He was so educated and he had all of this stuff. He had been in that palace all those years. That wasn't his desire. He could remember, no doubt, sitting on his mother's lap and her telling him and instilling him the good things of God, the characteristics, because the Bible says when they begin, these people begin to call out to God, they cried and they cried. The Lord knew they were in bondage. It had been prophesied that they would be there. But this had went on for generation after generation. And Pharaoh was afraid of these people because they were multiplying. He actually probably was afraid they were going to take over the kingdom. They would rise up. But God had a plan for them. And Moses was the man that brought them out. And I just want to encourage you to think about what God has got for you. You know, we are so quick to jump to the conclusion that we can help somebody be what they need to be, and we get a little bit critical and judgmental sometimes. But if we'll just look at ourselves, present our vessel to God and say, Lord, here I am, use me. We have talked so much about being in the service for God, doing what we're supposed to be doing. He truly is making his, he has a remnant. We're part of that remnant. We look like a small crowd, but really and truly, we could be a great and mighty army if we could come together in unity and take all the qualities that God has given us and what we know and what we've learned and begin to do what God has called us to do. We have a good leader. We have people that are godly. We have people that are living right. We are living right. I don't care what people say. Sometimes we're not perfect, but we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, who forgives us of our sin when we go to him. He said, if we say we haven't sinned, we lie. We do sin. We make mistakes. We fall. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but he still loves us. He wants us to take that route, that escape that he's created for us, because he said, in every temptation, he's made a way of escape. So there is a way of escape. When we get in trouble, we got to look for that escape. We got to say, okay, God, you are directing my steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Which way do you want me to go? And, you know, sometimes it's really difficult to find that path, to see it. Because you're going to be looking out there, and you're going to see four different routes that you can take. And you might have a little bit of apprehension, and you might be a little bit afraid to go ahead and take that step. But if you'll do it and acknowledge him in all of your ways, he will direct your steps. He said he would in the book of Psalms. Acknowledge him in everything you do, and he will direct your steps. And so you just take those steps by faith and say, okay, God, you have called me for a work to do, and I want to do it. If it's just witnessing to the people I work with, if it's just being a good, kind neighbor in my neighborhood, if it's just praying for the church or praying for my neighbors or praying for the people that I work with, I'll do that, Lord. It's maybe sometimes it's just being a mother or a father or a teenager. Just being what you can be for God. He'll point you in that right direction. Let's read Ecclesiastes 12. I'm almost finished here. The 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes, 13 and 14th verse. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of men. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. That's the conclusion of the whole matter. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you today for your word. It is so wonderful, Lord, and you're so good to us. You said, God, that heaven and earth would pass away, but your word would be forever. And we know, Lord, that it's powerful, that it goes forth to establish, and it will not return void. And that the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it cuts and divides between the soul and the spirit. Father, we just pray tonight in Jesus' name that you will look upon us with your mercy and your grace, and that you will help us, God, determine the right way in the situations that we're faced with, and there are many today. God, we thank you that you are concerned about us, and that you said in the book of Psalms that you would perfect the things that concerneth us. Lord, we are concerned about the things that are around us, but we trust you. We know that you have these matters in your hand. And Lord, we are in this world, but we're not of this world, because we have been born again. We have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And you are taking us on a journey and have brought us, Lord, this far. And we thank you, Lord, for the strength that you give us every day. You are the strength of our life, the joy of our lives. And God, we just pray that you would help us to understand and have the knowledge of Christ, and that we will surrender every part of our heart and our being unto you, and that we will move and draw closer to you, and you will draw close to us. Lord, we thank you for everyone gathered in your name. We thank you for every opportunity, Lord, that we have, that we can share one to another the good things that you always bless us with. Lord, we pray that you would bind us together in one mind. Lord, that we could come into unity, that we could be stable, God, that we could be that pillow in the house of God. God, that we could stand strong, and that most of all, Lord, that you would give us a burden for the lost. Lord, that you would help us to understand that there are people hurting out there that need deliverance, God, and that we have answers that may help them and bring them. Thank you, Lord, that you're the healer of our bodies. You said, Lord, when you called your disciples and sent them out, that we could lay hands on the sick and they would recover. Help us, oh God, to be doing what you called us to do. God, that we will put our hands to the plow and begin to work, God, as never before. And in that time, Lord, that we'll be looking to you, because you, Jesus, are the author and the finisher of our faith. And I give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.